FFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Well, I think the Blazers got a massive win. They did. I think it's one of the biggest wins in the last 5-6 years for the Trail Blazers organization. And I'm not trying to be clever here. I have felt for a while that, you know, if you're like an 8 or 10 or 12-year-old kid in the Portland metropolitan area or the state of Oregon, you haven't got to see your team on a regular basis. And maybe if you have been watching, they haven't been successful. But the Blazers last night announced their vision, Blazer vision. And their vision for their local TV channels, and I think it was just an absolute home run. I want to talk more with Dwayne Hankins, president of the Blazers here. I'm not trying to be like that backhanded compliment guy. I just think, what a win for you guys.
Yeah, John, thanks for having me. Our fans have had a strained relationship, I think, over the last couple of decades with our broadcast, and it felt really good to be able to get a deal done with a great partner that kind of unwinds a lot of the challenges that we've seen.
The accessibility versus potential revenue that you could generate with maybe a direct-to-consumer stream, maybe I should just back up and just let you kind of explain how people are going to find you and we know what you're offering, but I want to get to that balance in a moment. But, you know, maybe just speak to that. Like, you know, telling the little old lady who lives down the street from you, Dwayne, who says, you know, how do I find the team? How do I watch my guys? What are you telling her?
Yeah, the good thing is I can say there's a lot of options. Where should we start? So I think for us, it's really about making as many options as possible. You know, we all work in a really fragmented media landscape. We've watched that ground shift beneath our feet. And what we wanted to be able to provide is two options, two major options for fans. So there's the over-the-air option that we have with K2 and their network and Sinclair and their network of stations in and around Oregon and Washington, which makes Blazers games available in the state of Oregon and in Washington in a way that they never have been before. We have 4 times the reach in those two states than we had under our Root deal. So if you have an antenna, there's an easy way to find us. If you have cable, there's an easy way to find us. So there's just multiple options for fans. And then there's the direct-to-consumer product, our Blazer Vision product, which is for $120 for the year, $19.99 per month. You have access to watch the games however you want to watch them. If that's on your laptop or an iPad or an iPhone, we know that fans maybe don't even have TVs but want to access the games. And so that option is for that fan as well.
I think it's great that you're offering those options and sort of that balance. And let's get back to like the original, you know, when we talk about media rights, we always talk about the balance between distribution and revenue. Where did you guys fall on that spectrum? Because you have the league TV deal and then you have your local deal. Like, where did you fall in trying to figure out, like, you know, in the past you've gone with regional sports networks and run into some of those complicated problems, but, you know, now you're going over the air.
Yeah, this is the fourth time, maybe third time, now fourth time I've been involved in our media rights deal. So an extension with NBC Sports Northwest, our deal with Root, and then our deal with K2 here. And so, it's hard to imagine this, but our feeling had always been, yes, there's revenue tied to these deals, and that revenue is important, especially in a league where we're all needing to drive revenue from TV, from our broadcast deals. But when we made the move to Root, we did that with the intention that we would have distribution in mind. It just didn't work out that way in the 3 years because underneath our feet, the RSN industry was sort of collapsing, and you're seeing a lot of teams across the industry deal with that. You're seeing a lot of college conferences deal with that. You talk about that a lot on your show, I know for sure, John. And so we were very exhausted at being caught in the middle of these things because we're just a team, right? We sell our rights to the platform or the content provider, and then they get into these distribution conversations with distributors, and then we're caught in the middle. And as a team that's always produced their own broadcasts, an Emmy award-winning broadcast at that, and has always wanted to do things sort of DIY, we thought this was the best approach. Yes, we're taking a bit of a drop in revenue, but I think we think that in the long term, it's going to work out for the best. It's going to help us make more lifelong fans. It's going to help us sell more tickets. We're going to get more revenue from, you know, the advertisements that we sell on these games. And we think we'll get more retail revenue as well. So we're excited.
We're talking to Dwayne Hankins, Blazers president. Again, if you're just tuning in, the Blazers have a new local TV deal. You'll be able to see your team over the air, or if you want to subscribe and buy the direct-to-streaming option, you can buy the Blazer Vision package. Dwayne, the franchise, you talk about the complicated franchise. Am I right in kind of, you know, talking with friends and talking on this show, wondering about kids who are 10 or 12 years old and how often have they got to see the team? And I don't know if you can even quantify that, but just anecdotally, I feel like the franchise has lost a little touch through the old TV deal. Did you guys study that? Did you look at that? Was that a motivating factor, or do you, you know, can you even afford to kind of look back and study that stuff? You need to be looking ahead.
Yeah, you know, I have a 10 and 12 year old myself, but obviously they get a different exposure to Blazers games, and they're diehard Blazers fans. But we did see a drop in, you know, Generation Z and Generation, I guess it's Alpha, as the fans of our games. And I, you know, it's one of the things that keeps me up at night, because for me, there's so many things that are getting kids' attention these days, and they're very good at it, whether that's Fortnite or YouTube or what have you. And so if we make our games hard to find, if there's a lot of friction, if there's a paywall that's not going to be affordable, that's going to be a challenge. And then we'll grow up with a whole, you know, generation of fans who don't make those Blazer memories. I always go back to my time growing up in my household. My dad took me to my first baseball game, a White Sox game. He took me out of school. It was an incredible experience. And then being able to go home and watch the games on TV and become a fan in that way, that made me a lifelong fan of those teams. So we really felt we needed to have that at the center of our decision-making here.
Dwayne, the basketball product, obviously, you know, you can talk about TV exposure. You need a good product, and it probably helps you with a lot of other things if the team wins games, sponsorships, and you know, makes you look good, right? I mean, the glow of winning helps everybody, lifts all boats. But how important is that, that the franchise win games, perform on the court?
Yeah, I mean, it always makes the job easier, right? I mean, I was here for 8 years in the head of marketing role, where I'm sure I looked like a genius when we were winning in the playoffs and doing all these things. And then in the last 3 years in this president role, and we're going through a different cycle. And of course it makes things easier, but these times can be fun too. And what was challenging last year was, as we were starting a new chapter on the court, you know, our games became harder to watch. And this is an exciting chapter. This is an exciting team. There's certainly glimpses of what could be. There's a lot of media that have written up some of our guys are really interesting and exciting to watch them develop. And I just think our fans should get that opportunity to watch them and see what this team can become.
There was some buzz of excitement as the WNBA announced a Portland franchise. How does that fit with, in your mind, with the building and the NBA franchise?
Yeah, it's incredibly exciting, and kudos to the Bethal family who have made investments in the women's sports, both with buying the Thorns and also bringing this Portland WNBA team. And our ownership has been really involved as well, so kudos to Jody, who really wanted to see this come through. We have been working on this for a while, got it to the 1 yard line I think last year and then didn't get it done, so it's exciting to have it, and to have it launch in 26, have them play in the Moda Center in 26. To have year-round basketball at Moda Center is really exciting. And, you know, the WNBA and women's basketball as a whole is a rocket ship. And I'd be remiss not to say we're also getting excited for the 2030 Final Four, which will be here. And I think will probably be the biggest, I imagine, the biggest sporting event we've had in the city of Portland, which would be great.
Yeah, I think, you know, WNBA, Final Four, Blazers organization, having success, all that stuff I think is good for fans, it's good for the market, it's good for you. Hell, it's good for this radio show, Dwayne, to have something positive to talk about and sports to talk about. The ownership situation, do you have an update on the plans with Jody and the trust and Paul Allen's wishes and all that stuff? I'm sure it comes up in your ecosystem.
Oh, yeah, it comes up often enough. But, yeah, I mean, the team's not for sale. Jody's been a tremendous leader in terms of, you know, helping us get things going. And if you think about just the last year and a half and all of that we've accomplished, and some of it's, you know, not as maybe out there as it should be, but, you know, foundationally, we talk about trying to build a championship ready infrastructure. So, you know, the team's obviously not doing that on the court yet, but we needed to kind of build that infrastructure. And we did that with the Remix last year and the G League team and getting that launched and making sure we had a great player development tool. And that was key. We got our lease done with the city. It's a bridge lease, but it helps us work out, you know, more extensive conversations that we want to have right away with the city and others. This relationship that we built with Albina Vision Trust to help, you know, just reimagine what this neighborhood can be and make it busy, not just on game nights and event nights. This broadcast deal, which obviously was really important to our fans. So I think there's just a lot of things. There's a lot of excitement and the W, which you mentioned. So there's just a lot of things that have been going on, I think, that are hopefully, you know, starting to turn a little bit more positive. And as that happens, hopefully the results on the court will do the same.
I think it's confusing for fans, too, when they saw the lease, that bridge lease that you referred to. And correct me if I'm wrong. Key points, Blazers, you know, extend the lease through 2030 at Moda Center. Now it goes through an option, has an option to go through 2035. Then the city of Portland assumes ownership of Moda Center. That confused people. Does that mean the organization no longer owns the building? Why would that be? Help people understand that.
Yeah, that's actually a great question, John, and I'm happy to kind of talk through what that means. So there's a couple things that giving the building back to the city unlocks. First is public funding for the arena. So there's a ticket tax on each ticket that's sold at Moda Center. This allows that money that's being implemented on that tax to be used to start going back into the building. And so it's no different than Providence Park, which is also owned by the city, in terms of generating revenue that can help make improvements to the building. The second thing, it's not really known, but the way that the lease worked before is that the ownership group owned the building and the city owned the land that it was on. It was always meant to revert to the building if a deal couldn't get done. And so for us, we just made that happen. We'll still operate it and manage it along with the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. So to our employees, to people coming to games and events, that nothing really changes in that respect. But it is really about those renovations and the things that we can get done. And then the second thing, and I'd be remiss not to say this, is there's property tax savings for us if we're no longer the owners of the building, which is not insignificant.
Dwayne Hankins is our guest, Blazers president. I've always told people, Dwayne, that, you know, people have come to me and said, oh gosh, what if the Blazers leave? What if they leave? And I said, you know, I would always say that the NBA is committed to Portland and the NBA is committed to a city that has supported the team. Does this lease agreement affirm that or not affirm that or neither? You know, as I'm speaking to people and I talk about, hey, the Blazers now, the city now owns the building, is that, do you see that as a commitment to Portland or neither or not a commitment to Portland?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a commitment to Portland. I think what, you know, what we got done was to keep the team here through 2030, but like you said, an option to 2035. I think what was not reported was how that team was never close to leaving, but, you know, our lease was up in 2025. This is all public record, but our lease was up in 2025 in October. We had to let the city know by October of 24, which is next month. And we started these conversations probably later than we should have. And so nobody, not on our ownership side or on the city side, wanted to see anything happen. We wanted to get to a bridge deal when we couldn't get to a long-term deal. But when we first started the conversation, we obviously wanted to get something long-term done, and we still want to do that, but we wanted to sew this up so that we didn't have any drama that you kind of see in other cities.
Dwayne Hankins is with us. All right, your kids are Blazer fans. Do they have a jersey of a player that they like to wear or prefer to wear?
Yeah, Hudson, the 12-year-old, it was a Shaedon Sharpe jersey, and then the 10-year-old is a Scoot Henderson jersey. So those are their favorites.
There you go. Love that. All right, Dwayne, I really appreciate you joining us. Once upon a time, Blazers presidents were afraid to come on this show, so I appreciate you doing it and answering questions. I don't know what they were afraid of, Mike Golub, Larry Miller, we had, you know, Sarah Mensah came on the show. And then all of a sudden, no, you know, they were like, oh, no, we're not allowed. So I'm glad you're speaking. I think there's a huge audience across the state now that, you know, the show is on in Medford and Bend and Klamath Falls and Roseburg and Eugene, of course. You're speaking to a lot of people across the state. So before you leave, like, what do you want fans out there to know about the organization and the upcoming season?
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, for me, it's really, you know, we're starting a new chapter here, and I think it's exciting. If you haven't engaged with the Blazers in a couple of years, I think now is definitely the time to come back. The games are more available than they've ever been to our fans. You know, we've done a lot of great work in the building, in the arena. Portland's obviously done a lot of great work in trying to build the city back up. So now's the time to sort of re-engage. You know, teams lift up communities, and I want this team to do that for this community. So we look forward to having you back.
Dwayne Hankins, thank you. Thanks for giving us your time.
Thank you.
There he goes, Blazers president. Steven, let's talk about the product on the court. I think this is a great win for Blazer fans who want to see the team, but what will they be watching this upcoming season? Let's first talk about the positives. He mentioned Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe. I see those guys as, you know, young kids might get engaged and fall in love with those players if they get to see them. What are we looking at on the court, though, this season?
Yeah, it's going to be a rebuilding type of season again. You know, Hankins talked about Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe. Like, those are the guys that the Blazers are going to need to become stars. And, you know, they have guys like Anthony Simons, DeAndre Ayton, who have been in the league for 6-7 years. They're not going to be star players in the league. Like, they've proven they're not going to be. Where Scoot coming into his second season, Shaedon Sharpe coming into his third season, they still have that, you know, the untapped potential that you just don't know about. And so for Blazer fans, you're going to watch some young, exciting players that are looking to get better. It's going to be a tough run this season. The Western Conference is insanely tough. You look at last season, the Spurs were, you know, one of the worst teams in the league. They got Wembanyama. They're going to be better. Like, the Blazers, I think, are the worst team in the Western Conference. So there's going to be some brutal nights, but there's going to be some nights where you see these young guys take steps forward. They also go out, they acquire a guy in Denny Avdija from the Wizards, who's young, athletic, plays some defense. The Blazers were so used to them under Dame and CJ of, we're going to try to outscore you. We're going to try to score 120. You're going to score 116. We're going to win by four. I think the Blazers have pivoted from that, and they're going complete 180, and they're going to say, you know what, we're going to try to play some defense. We're going to try to hold you to 100 points, and we'll try to score 104 and win that way. First-round pick, Donovan Klingon, he's that type of guy. He's a defender that you want to build around. So I think it's going to be a different style of basketball that you're used to, especially as a Blazers fan, that if you've gone away for a while and you're coming back, it's going to be a little different style. But I think in the long run, if you can get one of these guys to pop in Scoot and Shaedon to be the go-to player on your team offensively, it has the pieces of being a successful team.
Are those guys good enough, or are they waiting for the next draft pick? That's the question. And, you know, how many games will this team win, or is it another lottery season? Over-under on wins for you coming up in this season. What's your number?
I would say it's around 22.5.
Yeah, see, that's not going to get everybody. Like, I love that, you know, and this new Blazer Television, Rip City TV network, you know, the slogan is, you know, wherever you may be, right? Like, you know, goes back to Bill Shonley, wherever you may be listening. Wherever you may be, you can get them. But if you only win 22 games, you know, it's that chicken and egg thing that Hankins was talking about. Like, you know, it helps all areas of the franchise. You know, I always felt bad for the people in ticket sales and sponsorships when the team was misbehaving and people were going, I'm dropping my tickets, or I won't buy sponsorships, or I'm not supporting the team. So now you don't have that problem right now with this team and this group, but 22 wins is not going to move the needle.
But the thing is, John, is it may not move the needle tremendously, but what it does is the fact that they're on TV and they're accessible.
And they're there.
They're there, and live sports is what drives everything. We've seen that in college football, just the market for any live sport, even the CW. Like, the CW came out of nowhere to be a sports network, and now they're getting, you know, millions of viewers. I'm not saying the Blazers are going to get those numbers, but what I'm saying is
it's there if you want it.
It's there if you want it. You're going to come home after work. There's nothing on TV, no sports on. You don't want to watch something on Netflix. Hey, let's flip on the Blazers because they're playing a team tonight. We want to watch, you know, LeBron play for the Lakers.
Well, keep an eye on this, literally, as it unfolds. All right, coming up, we're going to talk more about the lawsuit in the Pac-12 Conference. And how about some football? Oregon-UCLA coming up on Saturday. Oregon State now enjoying a week off. They'll get a bye week before they come back into action. But what are we looking for from the Ducks in this game at UCLA? And where does Oregon fit right now in the Big Ten Conference? We'll talk about it, especially in the wake of Michigan's win over USC. And then later this hour, we're going to hear from a local teacher who's doing some good things. And I want to share it with you. Bruce Barnum, Portland State coach in the 5 o'clock hour. Leave it here.